Welcome, everybody, to the first edition of the Terrapin Station podcast. I'm joined by Steph Frayers, Shane Kress, and Wes Brown. We are here to preview the 2017 season, which will get underway this coming Saturday at noon on the road against Texas. We're going to dive into a little bit of recap from last season and then kind of bring it full circle to this season and, you know, our kind of expectations heading into this first week. So how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Ready for football season.
Pretty good. Yep.
That is an understatement. So let's kind of just jump right in here. Last season, obviously the first season under DJ Durkin, 6-7 campaign with bowl appearance in the Quick Lane Bowl, which, you know, many may consider, you know, not a huge accomplishment, but after the year before with just three wins in 2015, I think that was kind of a big deal coming into, you know, for a new coach to come into the program like that. So what were kind of your expectations for Durkin heading into the year, and kind of how did he meet those expectations when the year was complete?
Yeah, I mean, obviously 6-7 is not something as a fan you want to see every year, but, you know, 3-6 in the Big Ten isn't too bad. You know, when you look at the actual wins and losses, there's nothing really to be too excited about. We beat, you know, Howard, FIU, Central Florida, Purdue, Rutgers. Only, you know, quality win was Michigan State at home. You know, one close loss at IU. Other than that, not even a lot of games were close, but there was a lot of things that you can be happy about. I think you've got to be happy with Durkin in his first year, especially without, you know, his own recruiting class. This year he's got a lot of his own guys coming in, one best recruiting class we've had in a really, really long time. So, I mean, last year wasn't obviously what we could hope for, but I think, you know, a bowl game, bowl appearance, and a pretty close bowl game at that is something to, you know, be pretty happy about looking forward.
Yeah, the Baltimore Sun was talking about how he had a crab feast after the scrimmage last Saturday, where he sort of is trying to connect with fans, because fans really haven't had a connection since they had Frisian back in the early 2000s. But a lot of them were saying that they were really happy with how he's able to just, like, connect. He has so much energy and all this stuff. So it's sort of like the fans sort of understand that what's put out on the field isn't necessarily the best in the country, but they know that that's the overall goal, and they think he's the guy that can push him there.
Yeah, Durkin definitely wants to win. And I think also another great thing about this season coming up is he finally has the coaching staff he wants behind him. Yeah, I think him and Walt Bell recruiting on the road this offseason is going to help a lot. You know, even following them on Twitter, they are so excited for what this team has to offer. So, I don't know. It looks like the future is pretty bright. So got a good young class, so, you know, excited to see what they can bring.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, Frisian was obviously a great coach, but when was less, like, has this program ever had a coach that was, you know, that enthusiastic? It's crazy just to watch, like, you know, him on the practice field and see how much energy he brings and, like, you know, how much this means to him. So you kind of feel like the players are going to buy into that too. And I mean, they kind of did last year, but now with, like you said, his first true recruiting class coming in, you know, a top 25 class, and then building towards that way even next year. I mean, you can't help but, you know, love where this program is going. I mean, there was so much hype when Randy Edsall came in, and obviously that all came crashing down pretty quickly. So it's kind of nice to see somebody that, you know, has that fire and, you know, will the win. And, you know, he's not content with just going to bowl games. He wants to win the Big Ten. And, you know, obviously that's going to be a ways off. But I think just having that kind of fire is, you know, it can't be a bad thing at all for the program.
Especially after Randy Edsall, who was probably the polar opposite of that. I don't think he really cared about the players at all. He was trying to get a paycheck and, you know, trying to get out. And I kind of think you can see that at UConn, too. I mean, the first move he made at UConn was getting rid of, like, one of their first scholarship offers, like a local kid that, you know, been wanting to play for UConn forever, got an offer, and Randy Edsall came and takes it away. So I think Durkin's definitely a guy that's, you know, for the people, for the players, and wants to do good for the school as well.
Yeah, because he always talks about how the starting, like, the depth chart isn't defined by what him or the coaches see. It's how the players react to each other. So if you are going hard in practice and all that, you're going to earn the respect of your teammates, and that's how you end up starting. So
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely trending in the right direction. Let me jump into kind of the results on the field last year. Like Shane said, there wasn't anything really exciting. I mean, the wins are the games, you know, they were kind of expected to win. Maybe not Michigan State so much because no one really thought that they were going to struggle the way that they did. But that was still a quality win. What were kind of your overall takeaways, you know, whether it's a, I guess we can each give one takeaway from last season, whether it's a position or, you know, overall scheme of things. What's kind of one takeaway that you took away from last year, either positive or negative?
I mean, I think the biggest one, at least on the positive side, was the O-line and running back play was exceptional. The obviously the only real bright spot of the offense. The O-line made it incredibly easy for the backfield to kind of use their youth and not have to worry too much about their inexperience, and they made holes and let them go to work. You know, we had a 1,000-yard rusher and Ty Johnson, so it's I think they did the offense in general was pretty mediocre, but I think the run game is something to build on, and especially with, you know, we got a 4-star running back coming in this year as well, so.
Yeah, I would have to say the offensive line as well, because looking at all the recruits they brought in the last 2 years, people are sort of saying, well, no one really knows how it's going to pan out, because originally they added it up. I believe I read somewhere that they added up all the star ratings of players on offensive lines, and Maryland had the highest count in the country. So it's sort of going into this year they have nobody on their starting roster for this week that is going to graduate. So the offensive line is really, really young, and whatever they did last year was miles ahead of what they were supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree there. I mean, I feel like that's one thing that Randy Edsall did try to do well was kind of build up the offensive line. It never really happened because they really only had a couple big-time recruits, you know, with Damian Prince. But, you know, they've really attacked the offensive line on the recruiting trail, and I think that – like you said, this is going to be the first year we kind of see what they can do. I mean, I know they gave up, you know, quite a few sacks last year, you know, one of the most in the Big Ten. But I feel like this year with the lines kind of more set in stone, another year for Terrence Davis, who was really impressive as a freshman, just kind of having that continuity. You know, Brendan Moore is obviously one of the top centers in the Big Ten and was, you know, recognized as such in the offseason. So I feel like the talent's kind of come together this year, and this might be the first year that we kind of see, you know, this offensive line be one of the better units in the Big Ten for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think you also can see that at any level of football, right? It's if you have an offensive line that's played together at, you know, high school level, college level, professional level, a team's going to do better when the offensive line has played together, you know, for a season or for any number of games. So I think the cohesiveness at that position is going to help a lot this year with both, you know, run protection and pass protection, which kind of leads into our quarterback play, which was, for lack of a better word, atrocious last year. Like, just gets to the point where you have to stop watching games because the quarterback plays so bad. But I think this year that's going to be a big position for us. I think we have the talent to really step up that position. Obviously, it came out, you know, yesterday, 2 days ago, that Piggy's going to be starting, and I think that was the right move. You know, guy has a year of experience under his belt, but I love having the QB competition between him and Kasim Hill. I think it's going to help develop them both, make them both better, and I think we'll see Kasim Hill at some point this season as well.
Yeah, and for Kasim Hill's future, it's going to be huge for the offensive line, because if he ends up winning the starting role at some point this year, he's going to be behind an offensive line, and all of them are going to be coming back next year. So it's sort of like, this is sort of like last year was the year where there was just sort of, what do you have? This year, sort of some growing pains maybe. And then after that, it's sort of DJ Durkin's trying to express, put him to victory.
Yeah, I kind of agree there too. I mean, the quarterback play was bad. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It was awful, you know. Prairie Hills was never, I mean, was a guy that can run, obviously, but his arm was usually pretty suspect. But it was good to see, you know, Piggy get out there and get some experience there. I mean, as a true freshman, you never really want to have a quarterback, you know, play a ton of snaps as a true freshman, but obviously he was forced into that, you know, had the one start against Minnesota. And while, you know, at times it maybe wasn't pretty, his, you know, as a passer, he certainly needs work. But, I mean, with a full offseason under his belt, I think he could definitely, you know, do better this year. And I think that kind of was the right call, putting him out there against Texas. I mean, as much as it sounded like Kasim Hill was impressive, you know, all summer, you really don't want to have a true freshman start his first career start on the road against Texas. You know, it's not like in past years we've had Maryland's face, you know, Richmond, James Madison, Howard, schools like that. So it's not like, you know, it's a cupcake. And, you know, if he kind of struggles a little bit, you know, it's not going to hurt him too much. But Maryland's going to have to be on point in their first game. So I think having Pigram start is definitely, you know, made the most sense for the program.
Yeah, and I think,
yeah, it's sort of like delaying kind of the way they've run it the last 2 years, where they sort of throw in every quarterback against the Richmonds, the Towsons, all that kind of stuff. It sort of just delays everything a week, which honestly won't be too bad, because say something happens week one and they have to put Hill in at Texas, but not, he's not necessarily starting, so there's no pressure on him to succeed. You know, he can get that experience against a really high-ranking defense, and then he can come back and maybe try and win the starting job against the Towsons, the UCFs, and then have that momentum going into the Big Ten play. I think it'd be a really good way for him to start his career, you know, then rather than immediately.
Yeah, I mean, he's the quarterback of our future, and he's the highest-rated quarterback we've had in a long time. So I think, you know, we don't want to put all this pressure on him right in the beginning. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to do that. But I do think it helps having two very similar style quarterbacks kind of learning from each other. And, you know, you can have Piggy in there and Kasim kind of step in and not miss a beat. We're not switching the offense. We're not running anything different. They're very similar style. And I think they'll help them both develop quicker, and especially when you're not having Kasim all thrown in there on the road against one of the, you know, biggest, craziest fan bases in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes too much sense, I feel like. And for them to, you know, Durkin to kind of, it seemed today that from his media availability that's basically what he said. You know, having a guy with experience like Pigram, you know, it's kind of the way to go. That's never a bad thing. So I think that was definitely the right call. So let's transition into our second kind of key point here. Keys to success this season. Obviously, we talked about the quarterback at length. Obviously, that's going to be, you know, for most teams, that's arguably the biggest one, with Pigram going in there and, you know, depending if Kasim Hill gets time. But what's, you know, one key, you know, maybe position to watch, one key that Maryland's going to have to be successful this season?
I think the biggest issue I see, and I think it's going to be a disadvantage we have against a lot of teams, is our youth. We are starting, you know, a lot of underclassmen. So I think the key is going to be some of the more experienced guys, you know, really working to develop these guys quicker than a lot of teams need their young guys to develop. You know, we need these guys to step in right away, where other teams, they have, you know, they can redshirt and have a couple years to develop. So I think we're going to need young guys to play well, and especially at key positions, but, you know, elsewhere too. And we're going to need guys from last year to reproduce. We had guys like, you know, DJ Moore and Ty Johnson that need to, you know, they have these years and we're expecting them to be that number one guy, and I think we need them to come back and prove why they were that number one guy and fill that role again.
Yeah, Maryland, are they going to have to focus on passing this year, I think? Because with the success that Harrison had and Johnson had, a lot of teams are going to start to focus on their rushing, especially with Pigram, who is also sort of a running quarterback. They're not going to expect anything out of his arm. So they're going to need the receivers and Pigram and Hill. They're going to need everyone to step up in the passing game so they can sort of create that balance.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well. It's no secret to anybody that the running game was far and away the biggest success, you know, on the roster. I mean, finished fourth in the Big Ten, almost 200 yards a game. And I mean, those numbers might have been increased a little, even if, you know, Lorenzo Harrison doesn't miss the last five games due to suspension. But I feel like also DJ Moore is going to be huge for this team. I mean, we saw last year like how much of a jump he made from freshman to sophomore year, and just how, you know, overall talented he is when he gets in the open field. I mean, there's few guys that are going to bring him down. Just case in point, the Nebraska game where he busted off that 92-yard screen pass, you know, made just about the whole Nebraska team miss and took it all the way to the end zone. There, if Pigram, Kasim Hill, you know, whoever is in there, is going to be able to get DJ Moore the ball, he's going to be one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten, you know, has that kind of potential. So I think he could be the ultimate X factor if, you know, if he's able to get the ball, you know, get a good amount of targets a game, that's going to be a dangerous offense for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in our – it's going to be a tough year. Our schedule is nothing to be scoffed at. I think it's a lot harder than even it was last year. You know, I think we have the over-under on wins at, like, 5 or 4.5, and I think 5 is a – you know, we have 4 games that we can win. We should win, and we have a couple out there that, you know, we can win. But it's definitely going to be a tough schedule. So I think winning at home is going to be huge. We have games like Texas on the road and stuff like that where people are expecting us to lose. So I think it's really important that we win the games we need to win and perform at home.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were saying that Maryland actually has the toughest schedule in the entire FBS because they have to play 4 teams out of the top 11 at the preseason rankings, as well as Texas on the road. So right there, those are 5 games people are easily going to wipe off of Maryland's schedule. So if they won everything else, that would leave them at 7-5. So, I mean, there's still obviously games in there they're probably going to miss. But I think it's one of those where they can surprise people by scrapping together 6 wins again. And that wouldn't be horrible. You know, people are going to say, oh, well, you're not improving from last year, but what happened was they're playing harder opponents. So yeah, it's sort of going to be a give and take this year.
Yeah, I mean, 6 wins against this schedule, I think, is a huge success. A bowl game, again, back-to-back years, I think it's going to help recruiting even more. So I think 6 is doable. You know, 6-7 is definitely a stretch, but I think the way the team played last year and the improvements we've made, I think it's definitely doable.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, I mean, if you look at the schedule, I mean, obviously after Texas, you get a little bit of a reprieve with Texas and UCF. But other than that, I mean, you start a Big Ten play with at Minnesota, at Ohio State, home against Northwestern, at Wisconsin. I mean, those first 4 weeks are pretty brutal. I mean, you know, possibly Northwestern is a team that Maryland could beat, depending on, you know, how their early season shakes out. But, I mean, 2 top 10 teams in Ohio State and Wisconsin, then you still have Michigan and Penn State toward the end of the year. I mean, that's, you know, if Maryland wants to be bowl eligible, they're probably going to have to steal maybe a game or two. You know, you figure wins are probably the Towson, UCF, maybe Indiana, obviously Rutgers. And then, you know, so if they're to get bowl eligibility, 2 more are going to have to come from somewhere. But if they're able to get to that point, I mean, I think that's a huge success, even if, you know, it's 6 wins again. I mean, getting to back-to-back bowl games, and, you know, if some of these games are close, you know, if they play Michigan tough or they play Wisconsin tough, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, that's going to create more hype surrounding the program and ultimately trickle down their recruiting and, you know, with the new facility and all that kind of positive publicity surrounding the program. I mean, I think that's definitely a positive that they're able to get the 6 wins. I mean, even if it's rated 5 wins, it's not terrible, just because this schedule has got to be one of the most difficult ones in the country. And I mean, it's definitely nothing to turn your nose up at. Most teams would, you know, kind of, except for the elite programs, would kind of struggle going through a stretch like this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look down, there's very few that are like gimme wins. I mean, you know, we have the over under 4.5. I mean, you know, finding 5 games is definitely tough, but I think there's definitely ones we can steal. Minnesota on the road's tough, but one we can steal. Northwestern at home, one we can steal. And, you know, a team like maybe Penn State at home, last game of the year, maybe they lost a couple and they're out of the playoff, you know, picture, something like that. But I mean, it's a tough schedule, but I know I'm excited to see how they play in a couple of these big games. The biggest thing for me this year is maybe not winning some of these games, just making them close. Last year, you know, we're losing to teams by 30, 40 points, the games, no one wants to watch them. So I think if we can keep games against Michigan, games against Ohio State, games against Wisconsin, at least within a score or two, I think it's a big improvement, and it's gonna help, you know, in games, other games in the season that are closer. You know, we have the more confidence, you know, the better we play against these teams.
So moving on, let's bring it back to this week. First game, obviously on the road against Texas, which we said, you know. I was trying to think about the last time that Maryland kind of opened with a marquee opponent, and probably got to take it back to 2011 when the Terps opened up against Miami in the first game of the Randy Edsall era, which ended up being a win, and ended up being a crazy game. So hopefully we see a similar result this time around. But what have maybe one matchup you're looking forward to, you know, an X factor for Maryland to kind of have success on Saturday?
I think the biggest thing for us on Saturday is going to be getting out early. Playing Texas on the road is got to be one of the hardest places to play. It seems like Texas is kind of always in talks, you know, preseason ranked kind of every year, and then the last couple seasons they haven't really done a whole lot. So I think if we can get them on their heels early, put up a couple quick scores, I think you know, we have a chance to stay ahead and maybe surprise some people. I don't think a lot of people, you know, I think we're 17.5 point underdogs right now. You know, I think ESPN has 90% of the public, you know, voting towards Texas. But I think it's definitely a game that is winnable considering how mediocre Texas has been as of late. Tom Herman, Texas coach, came out and said that, you know, based on the way they've been practicing and camp and stuff, he still sees them as a 5-7 team like they were last year. They had a huge up-and-down year last year. Some big wins against, like, Notre Dame and Baylor, and then they lost to Kansas and Cal and a couple teams that they shouldn't have lost to. Obviously in a hard conference, but I think it's a game that we can get out early and maybe sneak out a W if we can stay ahead.
Yeah, it's sort of this year is sort of a good start, I guess you could say, because Maryland's sort of not taking a risk by having this game because Texas is coming in ranked 23rd in the country, so no one's expecting them to do much. But at the same time, they do have a new head coach, a lot of young players. They didn't do too well last year. So maybe this could be their game of growing pains where Maryland comes out really early, like you said, gets a quick lead on them, and the defense, which is one of the stronger parts of Maryland's team, is able to sort of, you know, hold it back and keep it close to the point where the offense just needs to make that one play. Johnson needs to break that one run or something like that. That could give Maryland one of those big wins they need, because at the end of the year, when they add everything up, this would still be a win against the 23rd best team in the country, even if they do end up going 5-7 again. So it's sort of one of those, it doesn't really matter too much if Maryland loses this game, but if they win, it's a huge exclamation point.
Yeah, I mean, there's basically no pressure almost. I don't want to say no pressure, but there's very little pressure on Maryland to win this game. I mean, like you said, no one's going to really expect that. I don't know if I expected Texas to be ranked heading into this game just after last year, but obviously the talent is there. And, you know, there's a lot of hype surrounding the program with Tom Herman. Obviously, you know, was an incredible coach at Houston. So there's definitely going to be a lot of hype surrounding them. But if Maryland's able to come out and, you know, maybe break that run early. I mean, Texas's run defense last year was not great at all. Almost 190 yards a game on the ground they were giving up. So if Ty Johnson's able to break off, you know, that big run early against the Texas run defense, that's going to be huge for Maryland coming into this game. Because if they establish that run game right off the bat, right, you know, in that first, you know, couple minutes, and kind of take one to the house, or maybe even break off like a 30-yard run, you know, get in field goal range, you know, even if they only come up with 3 points on the first drive. I think to go down and score on a team like Texas, this is going to be huge, you know, kind of get in their heads, kind of maybe take the crowd out of it a little bit. So there's a lot of factors at play there. I think it's definitely a situation where Maryland is going to have to keep their foot on the gas, especially if they get the lead early on. So we'll see, you know, kind of what happens there. But I think if Maryland's able to jump out to an early lead, they'll be able to have a lot of success throughout the game.
Yeah, and I think another big thing is going to be offensive line. Maryland's offensive line, as far as letting up sacks last year, was pretty abysmal. And Texas was ranked something like tied for 12th in sacks last year. So I think it's protecting Piggy in this first game is going to be super important for not only this game, but his confidence moving forward. I think we need to get the running game going early and let Piggy get comfortable, keep him on his feet, and let him get a couple throws in there, let him get some confidence back and start the season strong. I think the quarterback play, again, is super important this year. So we got to get him feeling like he can win and feeling like he can actually make a couple throws and get the ball downfield.
Yeah, because one of the biggest problems with Maryland throughout, you know, the last couple of decades is sort of it's either a really close game in which Maryland, you know, that's when they take control, but then they sort of, like you said, they don't keep pushing on the gas pedal like most teams do. They sort of just try and ride it out. Either that or they just come in and you see, like, when they play Ohio State, they just come in, they can't score, they get scored on, and then all of a sudden they're down by 3 touchdowns, and it sort of looks like the team's kind of like, well, we tried. It's sort of, they need to break that habit and sort of get into the habit of scoring first, just pushing down on the gas pedal even farther once you do score, and just keep running. Because that's the one thing, you know, Urban Meyer brought to the Big Ten when he came to Ohio State was, he said, I'm not going to stop. And DJ Durkin needs to take some of that and, you know, do the same thing here if he wants to compete.
Yeah, getting out early is definitely the biggest, I think, the biggest thing. And that also comes with, you know, getting players confident. We have a ton of underclassmen starting. I think Texas is returning like 17 starters, something like that. So they're going to have a lot more experience than us, a lot more fire than us at home. So I think we have to get them on their heels, get the crowd out of it, and try to get out, get a couple points on the board as soon as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's what it's going to come down to. If Maryland kind of falls behind early like they have in years past against, you know, the Ohio States, the Michigans like last year, I mean, we've seen how ugly it can get. But if they're able to come out strong, there's no reason they can't win this game and, you know, hope maybe even, you know, pull out a win on the road. I think, you know, having that hot start is going to be huge, especially in this game, maybe more so than in, you know, several of the other games this year.
Yeah, I've also seen a lot of talk this week about how Maryland's never actually scored against Texas. They played 3 times and it's like 102-0. So I feel like, you know, things like that, you know, just going down there and scoring and getting that off your mind, because obviously you hear that kind of stuff as you're a player, you know, you understand what people are sort of saying. So, you know, things like just little tiny things like that, you know, if they can go down and score, that can just clear everything up.
So just to kind of end it here, just wanted to get a few predictions, maybe players to watch or just, you know, maybe a player of the game.
Yeah, I think player to watch. I'll go with DJ Moore. I think the run game can get going early, and I think it'll open up the play action and open up the passing game a little bit. I don't think Texas is really expecting much out of the passing game from us. I know they have been preparing as if Piggy was starting, so they're preparing for the right quarterback, obviously, but I don't think they have a whole lot of expectations for that. So I think if we can get the run game going early, work inside out, and open up the passing game, I think we can get a couple deep balls on play action, and I think DJ Moore is a perfect guy to get for the deep threat like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the defense. I'm going to say Shane Cockrell. He's just got let back on the team this week, and he was put in the starting lineup. No one's really heard much about him since his incident before the bowl game, so he hasn't seen the field since then either. So it'll be really interesting to see how he sort of comes in and how that whole linebacking crew can try and contain Texas.
I think I'm going to stick with the defense as well. I'm just going to flip it to the front seven, maybe Jesse Annabonham or Jermaine Carter. They're going to both be huge. They're going to have to get pressure on Texas. Obviously, they have a great quarterback. You know, they have they did lose some, you know, other wideouts from last year, but there's still plenty of talent there, even at the running back position. So if, you know, if the front seven can get that push and kind of, you know, be in the backfield, you know, early and often, I think a guy like Jermaine Carter is going to be huge. I mean, we saw, I know it was Rutgers, but that final regular season game last year, you know, how talented he can be, how much of a force he can be, you know, and kind of every aspect on the defensive side of the ball. So I would say that, you know, he'd be a guy to watch. I mean, be interested to see, you know, how close this game actually ends up being. I don't want to say that I would expect Maryland to win, but I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to stay in it and maybe even win, you know, just kind of based off the fact that Texas, you know, has kind of struggled the last couple of years and, you know, has kind of got that in their minds. And if Maryland's able to come out early and have some success, you know, I don't see why they can't win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I've seen predictions out there like 51-0, 48-0. I don't think it's going to be that at all. I can see us, you know, going into half with a 10-point lead and maybe Texas coming back second half and stealing it or something like that. But I think this is a one- or two-score game, you know, at worst. I think we can really stay in this one.
Yeah, this is their best bet at getting a marquee win, and this it would go a really long way if they can win this game, win their next two non-conference games, and go into Minnesota in Big Ten play 3-0. That would be absolutely huge.
So I think that pretty much wraps us up here today on the Terrapin Station podcast. We'll be back, try to jump on early next week and kind of recap Texas, recap the game, and, you know, give our takeaways from, you know, what kind of went down on Saturday. So be sure to keep an eye on the website. We'll kind of preview content heading towards the game on Saturday. And we'll talk to you guys next week. As always, go Terps.